Hello there, James.
Hello, Jackson.
James. Where is the time gone? Where is it gone?
Seriously, I don't know. We're closing in on 300 episodes.
You might be closing in on 300 episodes. I'm closing in on 200 episodes. I'd be curious to hear about where all these other episodes are coming from. But
I knew it was a big centennial marker.
I know I've passed the 200 mark in terms of like episodes about poker that I've been a part of probably a little while ago. But yeah, this is probably episode 189 is my guess. And so
yeah,
I feel very confident we're going to get to 200. 300, we're going to need some more Patreon subscribers.
Yeah. That's very true. That's not just a joke.
No, it's not a joke at all. Patreon.com/justhands. And we are putting up a much, I would say more consistent stream of premium podcasts. So you might notice we're getting pretty good about doing like two or three a month on the main feed. But if you want to get an extra on about a monthly basis, definitely patreon.com/justhands. And we've got a nice backlog going now. So if you want more Just Hands and you want some throwback Just Hands, some things like some episodes with just Zach and Tommy Angelo, can you imagine such a thing? Well, we've got it. And you can check that out by becoming a patron. So we don't normally do an ad like this or, a sort of self-promotional junk like this up front, but 300 episodes, it's only going to happen with your support. So appreciate it. Thank you for being with us. So hands, just hands. That's what we do here. Anything we want to add? Any like little life events, weather stories, fires, pandemics, anything to share?
No,
who are you voting for?
I don't want to share just any kidding. Opinions that are going to get me ostracized. Let's jump into the hands.
Okay. This comes from Hollywood, Perryville, Maryland. I think this is Maryland Live. Not sure. Let me find out. Hollywood, Perryville, Maryland. I don't know what that means. Hope you guys are enjoying the sound of my keyboard. Hollywood Casino, Perryville. I don't think this is necessarily...
It's another Maryland casino, maybe a smaller one.
Yeah, it looks like this is sort of near, halfway between Baltimore and Philadelphia, near the river. So this is probably a smaller casino. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is a 1-3 game. We might be getting more information about this in a second, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is the only stake that runs in this room. Not sure, though. Anyways, Hero writes that he's never been to this casino before and knows no one. A hero took a flyer looking for any live poker close to the house, and they've been waiting for about 30 minutes. There is one other seven-player table that's full, and eventually they open up a second table. So there are five players present with call-ins coming soon, and they have the plexiglass on the felt to create little sections between the players. So two players on the end, two by the dealer, and three along the side. Plexiglass also creates quite a glare, and it's hard to see suits on the board engage other players. So a little bit more anonymity.
It makes the reads a little harder. Like I've done both plexiglass and like just out there with masks, but you can definitely pick up on a little bit more without the plexiglass. Anyway, just a note there.
And no surprise. So there are only two other players in this particular pot. The villain is a mid-30s white male, dressed very casually with earbuds in one ear. So I guess probably just one earbud, but that's okay. My initial visual...
You don't think he has both earbuds in one ear?
I don't think so, but
That's pretty casual.
We're not paying for these hands. We take what we can get. And so far, I would say this is really A-plus effort, although I do take offense to, an S out of place here and there. All right. Initial visual read of this player is that he's a lag and a maniac. someone who likes to gamble. It's not just a maniac, but a lag and a maniac. And Hiro is a mid-40s white male dressed in a plaid shirt and jeans. Hiro is mostly a tag, but knows that he plays too light and doesn't bluff enough. So he's a tag with a higher degree of self-awareness than most. Hiro is studying and listening to podcasts, trying to improve his game. Doesn't get to play as often as he would like because there's almost no poker during the pandemic. Sorry for needling you in the very beginning of what might be your first hand ever on a podcast. So hopefully the experience is quite joyful for you so far. All right. Villain is in for 500. Hiro is in for 400. Villain is the effective stack. So James, I'm just reading between the lines here a little bit.
Yeah.
My sense is that we heard that the visual read of the player is that he's a lag and the maniac.
Yeah.
So I'm going to discount this read somewhat.
Yeah.
Or maybe we can talk about like both, like if he's actually a lag and maniac, do this. And
yeah, we don't know like if we've seen some like lag maniac hands or not.
I mean, through the plastic glass, this guy looks only, like some serious action, but
yeah, if it's only a visual read, yeah, I wouldn't like some people, or it's not that uncommon for people to kind of reverse that.
Yeah, I agree. All right. So action folds to villain in the cutoff, limps to three, folds to hero in the small blind, looks down at ace of clubs, jack of spades. Hiro raises to $15. I don't think this is worth discussing particularly. Big blind folds, and he calls. We go to the flop with $30 in the pot. I guess only question is really, would you make it bigger?
I don't know. I'm happy with Hiro's play so far.
Me too. It does suggest this is not necessarily like lag behavior to limp the cutoff. Just something to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Flop comes down, jack of diamonds, three of diamonds, 10 of clubs. So we flopped top pair, top kicker. And hold on, do we have the diamond? We don't. We do have ace of clubs. So we have like a backdoor nut flush blocker. Hiro writes that he decides that he needs to bet here for protection. There are flush draws and straight draws out there, so I don't want to give him any free cards. And Hiro feels that he's good here most of the time. You want to comment on just that?
I'd characterize it as for value more than protection. If like 9-7 folds, like we got, and the turn's a 8, we got some protection. But yeah.
Yeah, there's not much protection that we are likely to get in this spot.
Mm-hmm.
I think virtually there's very few hands that could like turn us that will fold, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably only like 9s through 4s and deuces. 9's not necessarily, but like I think probably pocket sixes folds here. And honestly, that is a very good reason to bet. It's because that's a hand that's likely to check and win a big pot from us if they hit a 6. Not the kind of thing that we think about that often, but it is important. But yeah, I think you don't want to just like start focusing on draws exclusively here and bet with this sort of mindset of like, I want to get draws to fold as soon as possible. I just don't think it's a mindset that's going to lead to you making the best decisions across the rest of this hand. You know, there's a lot of other jacks, there's tens, and yeah, there are flush draws and there are straight draws, but chances are some of those draws are going to get there and most of them are not. And so we just need to be conscious of like what that range actually is and not start focusing on goals like protection that we can't actually even get on the street. 8-9 will never fold. Queen-9 will never fold. King-queen will never fold. King-10, queen-10. Just these hands are not folding. Maybe 7-8.
If our opponent is particularly aggressive, do you like check here? And how are you proceeding facing bet?
Yeah, that's a great point. This is a strategy we can employ playing against lags is capitalizing on the fact that they are going to put too much money in the pot So if our opponent's going to take most of their draws, most of their pairs, and bet twice, potentially we have a really good opportunity to check raise the turn, which I think on like a lot of turns is something that we might be interested in doing. I mean, do you think there's a case for check raising the flop?
Yeah, it does get into like a bit of a weird spot though. I'm aware that triple broadways are underbluffed. So if the turn comes another broadway, I wouldn't really be too worried about getting bluffed there, like a king or a queen, something like that.
It's a pretty easy call too.
Yeah. Another point would be, like, if we call flop, then on the turn, if we check and it checks through, that's not really what we want most of the time. So I think I do prefer starting off with bet on this board.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this is really emblematic of like the difference between a true lag maniac and like a player we think might be, but most of the time won't be. I think against the true maniac, the check, just checking the maniacs is like really typically a pretty good idea. And so like checking where if the turn is like a little dicey, then we can just check call three times most likely, or checking to check raise the turn if we get a safe turn. I think that's a really good strategy. But I think against a player who is not a lag, we should just bet. Like, and how do you know what a lag is? A lag is someone who just like takes fives, not a lag, but like a lag maniac is someone who like is liable to just take fives and decide to just turn into like a triple barrel bluff.
Yeah.
And we just don't want to stop our opponent from doing that. But yeah, if you don't think that this player is the type to just take like really low equity hands and potentially triple barrel them or double barrel them, then I would just go ahead and bet. So I like betting here. I think we can go on the larger side.
Yeah.
Given how much equity our opponent's range has and their looseness. So there's 30 in the pot. I think like 25 makes a lot of sense here to me.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. And sorry, we're not disagreeing as much as I guess the last episode. We've converged back on our consensus. Surprise. All right. So what happens? I think we have a good, based on Villain's description of the situation, I think we should anticipate that they will bet. Hero continues that he doesn't think that Villain would limp and then flat with queens or better. I agree. And that he could really have just about anything here, but I think his most likely holding is something like king 10 or queen jack or ace 10. I'm not sure how you're getting that. That doesn't make sense to me. I'm not sure why ace 10 is more likely than like fives, personally. So I think you might just be zeroing in too much on hands that connect with the board in some way, or that like you want him to have. So I would avoid saying like his most likely holding is something like that without like a really strong reason.
Maybe in defense of our listener, like there's like more combos of the offsuit Broadway hands than maybe not like overall, but like king 10 off is more likely than fives or something.
Yeah, maybe king 10, but there is a 10 on the board.
Yeah,
12. Like 12 queen jack ace 10, we have six.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess in a little sense,
queen jack is not that common.
I don't know, is king queen his most likely hand?
Yeah.
I don't know. And if this guy could have anything, then isn't like 8-9 his most common hand?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think we're zeroing in way too much already on the flop. Hero writes that Villain could have also two combos of Jack 10 suited here, but would also not be amazed to see him show up with King 3 off. Yeah, I think we're a little all over the map here. I would say just try and like create a more consistent type of range. A more advanced way of doing this is something we've talked about on the show before, which is like partial profiling, where maybe you give like, you say like half the time this guy is just like a regular 1-3 player, half the time this guy is like a lag maniac, and then what does the combination of those ranges, each occurring 50% of the time, look like? There's some nuance there that I've covered in like webinars for SoftwareY and those sorts of things that we're not going to get into right now. But it's a strategy you can work towards integrating. All right, so Hero bets $30 in a pot of 30, which we like, and villain calls. So we go the turn with 90.
What are the effective stats?
Start with 400, so now like 355. So we have like a 4-to-1 SPR. So if we got pot again twice, we can be all in, which is something that we may want to consider doing. The turn comes the five of hearts, with the turn being mostly a blank.
So just to review, the flop is jack 10, 3 with the jack 3 of diamonds, 10 of clubs.
Yeah.
I just want to do that more often because
For sure.
It's easy to forget.
Turn is the five of hearts. Really about as good of a turn as we could have asked for. So Hero decides that he needs to continue betting for value. And I think it's a very good approach. And I do think we should be in like triple barrel mindset. Or I also think like, I mean, I think that's probably the mindset that we should be in. I think with the jack, there's a case for check call, river, because we unblock a lot of potential bluffs and we block like the most likely calls. But I just don't think that works as well at 1-3. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, it depends a lot on our opponent. You know, so some people like, you know, we talked about like, are they a caller? Are they a folder? And yeah, if they're a caller, we can go thinner for value. Like maybe we take king jack here for three streets, or maybe like queen jack. If the queen jack is, I'd say, extremely thin. But yeah, like king jack's kind of at the point where I might be like, are they a caller or are they a folder?
Yeah.
So I like going. Yeah.
And keep in mind that someone can be a folder and a bluffer.
That's true. So
the check call starts to look really good against the folder on the river. I still like betting the turn. I'm guessing you agree.
Yep.
We could check raise the turn too. It's not out of the question. I just don't trust people to like bluff.
Yeah, or to bet like king jack for value.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so we bet again, it seems like. All right, so Hero says, I decided I needed to keep betting for value. 8-9 off does get there. I don't know
what you're talking. The turn is 7?
Maybe the turn is, I mean, I don't know. How do you, this is conflicting evidence. How do you want to proceed? If 8-9 gets there, then should we just turn this turn card into a 7? So I think it's more likely that the mistake would be putting 5 instead of 7 than thinking 8-9 gets there on a 5, right?
Okay, yeah.
All right, so very different board, very different turn card. Do you still like bet?
Yeah.
Do you like bet fold?
No, not if it's a shove. If it's a small raise, I like bet fold. And that's because of online player tendencies that I've become aware of.
With the possibility of like a lot of 8-9 offsuits, does it make you prefer or think differently about the spot?
So 8-9 is 16 combos, but we could bet like smaller here kind of as a hedge and fold to a raise. The pattern that I'm talking about is if there's a turn raise with money behind, it's very rarely a bluff. If it's a turn all in, that you get more merged hands in there. But yeah, so we could maybe like bet 45 and fold to a raise because it's going to be nutted.
Yeah.
And also like fits that in with the, like you know, the 1-3 player pool pattern of not really sizing up turn in proportion to pot. So I don't think it'll necessarily like show that we have a weaker hand.
Yeah, I think like 50 feels like a good size to me. I like that. I don't like 90 particularly anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think it's unreasonable. But I think we're more likely to start getting some like 10x to fold. And we lose more whenever we get raised. Because I don't think we're... I personally just don't think we're calling raises.
I call a shove.
Good luck
I
with
think,
that one.
Like, okay. I think like King Jack. I mean, it depends on the opponent profile, you know. We have the read that he looks like a maniac.
You know, it's just like a lot of combo draws can raise the flop.
Yeah.
So I don't know, is it like 10-9? Do you think it's gonna bluff? Nines. I mean, probably King not queen. Someone that sophisticated.
I don't think nines.
So King Queen.
King Queen like goes for like the shoves. Play.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't see it. I'm open to being wrong, but I'll get exploited all day in this spot. That's fine.
What does our hero elect? Or do you want to talk about this more?
No. Sorry, I'm trying to find my spot in the text.
Yeah.
So flush draw and other straight draws are still out there, and hero still wants to protect against them. I think. Our hero thinks that villain has a pretty wide range here, but feels that ace 10 and queen jack are his most likely holdings. So if it's $55 in a pot of 90 and villain calls. So I think there are similar mistakes being made as on the flop in terms of the analysis, but the actual action I like. So we're going to the river with $200 in the pot and about $290 behind. What do you think the river is?
It's a king or something.
How about a nine?
Nine. Oh yeah, that's gonna be my next one. I
did one. The river comes the nine of spades. So more draws have come in. Hero says he just can't put him on an eight. Not sure why. I think jack eight, 10-8, 7-8, even 9-8. Ace eight of diamonds, king eight of diamonds.
Yeah.
Queen eight. 9-8
probably mostly raises.
Turn. Yeah. Pocket eights.
Yeah, there's lots of eights out there.
There's a lot of eights. So I don't agree that like we just can't put them on an eight. So hero decides to bet for thin value, targeting worst one pair and missed flush draws. So I'm not sure what we're targeting with missed flush draws. I think we should just check, because I don't necessarily think the worst one pair will call you that much.
We're like hoping for king jack and queen jack.
King 10, queen 10.
Yeah, those are tough calls.
They could call. I mean, if you think mm-hmm. that this player will call, I don't think betting is crazy.
Yeah.
At 1-3. You know, my first instinct was to check. You know, 1-3, this might be a place to just bet fold. Where it's like people are really just at, they lack that much proficiency at poker. Where I do think we can just get called by some jacks and tens and like set our price and always be.
Yeah, right, we're also losing to king queen here. Like,
yeah, we're really really losing to king queen here. Yeah, we're really losing to king queen here. Yeah, I guess it's just like there's too many hands we lose to.
Yeah, I like starting with check and probably folding.
Yeah, I think that the old check fold is pretty solid. And just to recap, like something we've talked about on the show before, basically your consideration here to value bet is when I get called, am I good more often than not? Or let me put it like this. When I get called or do I get called more and am good relative to the times that I am either called and am bad or get raised and fold? So you need the call and am good to be over 50% of the time relative to call and am bad or get raised and end up folding.
Yeah, it is.
That's roughly
That's the useful heuristic.
It's the rough consideration.
There's another, I was like watching someone talk about this recently, where because theoretically, or I think this is, I need to look into this more closely, but because your opponent can polarize effectively against you, where you're losing the size of the pot, you can actually be losing on your out of position bet at the end, and it can still be the right play. But I wouldn't worry about that too much.
Yeah, I think if like, if it's a situation where like a check strategy allows our opponent to polarize, where like sort of a merged bet out of position like prevents our opponent from polarizing as often, then we can prefer to bet in that instance. But I don't think we're up against a player that like is going to be thinking like that, or just sort of accidentally acting in that manner.
It's not the main thing to focus on. It's like, are we good more than 50% on calls? Okay, it's plus EV. And then is it more plus EV than our other options?
Yeah. You know, it is, I will definitely say like, it's a reasonable strategy. Like, I think it's a more reasonable strategy when there's more just total whiffs that we have to check fold to, but that would just fold if we bet. I just don't think this is a board where there are very many hands like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
go ahead.
Like, if the river was an 8, then I think check call or bet starts to look much better. The river being a 9 is just really particularly bad.
Yeah. On this particular board, our opponent has so many value hands that like it'll be hard for them to bluff too frequently. You know, like even if they turn all their flush draws into bluffs, they might be bluffing at the right frequency. So I think I like to check fold.
Yeah, we didn't really bet a size on the turn where we should ever expect king queen to fold. If we bet pot, it's like it's possible that those hands start to fold at some frequency. I guess it's not that relevant anyway. I think
both James like and I, jack 9, 10, 9 is more likely to call that turn as well.
Or less likely.
Two pairs.
More likely.
Because of the smaller size.
Instead of raise?
Or yeah, instead of like 10-9 could maybe fold like to a large size.
Yeah, that's a good shot. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. All right. So we both like check fold.
Mm-hmm.
Hero bets $50 into a pot of $200. Villain raises to 200 total. So James and I both think you should fold. And I'm going to ask him if he wants to corroborate that. I know that's what he thinks. And it's on Hero to call $150 for a pot of $450. Hero goes into the tank, but is having trouble coming up with a good range. Thinks that it's possible that Hero is no longer good, but that this type of player could easily bluff, representing an 8. Hero thinks his price is too good and calls. Villain shows king queen off for a rivered straight. I think this call in the end is a mistake. Your opponent has a lot of straights, and they're all going to raise you. And for this bet, he can really raise you with like two pair, I think. I don't know if he will, but like jack 9, I think, can raise.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think the main thing you can do to play this hand better next time is just to try your best to keep a broader range of hands in mind across each street. Because you should really be, you weren't thinking enough about king queen. And so you didn't think enough about the fact that there could easily be 16 combos of that hand. So you were worried about eights. I think you also maybe weren't thinking enough about the eights that can be here. But if it were just a matter of like eight or bluff, then the call is more reasonable. But when you throw in those 16 king queens, the call on the river starts to look really dicey. So I would just say really strive to think about all the possible hands and make sure that you're tracking those hands across all three streets. It's not easy, but that's what we have to do to be the best poker player we can be.
Yeah, just to elaborate on that, I think taking the time to write out the combos of the range you think is raising on the end and thinking about, you know, like looking at a grid and thinking about, okay, like how many bluff combos does my opponent have to have here to make this call profitable? And I think you'll find like it'll be hard for your opponent to have enough bluffs here, and you'll need to be like betting his bluffs at quite a high frequency. And then the other thing I'd say is if you always fold your bluff catchers on the end facing a raise on the river, I don't think you'll be making very many mistakes. So consider doing that.
I agree. So Hero writes that he thinks his read of the villain and villain's persona were correct. In a later hand, villain raised from the big blind with Jack 5 offsuit, then triple barreled with air, including $100 on the river, was called by big blind's bottom pair. And I think that's very different. Like raising the big blind with a bad hand is not like that, doesn't mean that like you're a crazy aggressive player. And then triple barreling with air, of course, always is good to note. And that definitely means this player will bluff more than a lot of players will at 1-3.
Yeah.
But a $100 bluff on the river is really different than like a $200 raise on the river. Very, very different. So I definitely would, I'm not ready to conclude even with this information that your read is correct. And I definitely think that when you're first starting out at the table, like you really want to kind of pigeonhole people more towards what the typical player is like and not integrate sort of weak information too quickly to make you do things that are totally different than what you would normally do. Like if someone's a maniac, you'll know with no, if this person was actually a maniac, you wouldn't say, I think my read of the villain and his persona were correct. You'd be like, turns out I was 100% right, and this guy is a total maniac. He blew through like 5 buy-ins in about 2 hours and then was gone, and I had made a lot of money.
Yeah. Also, like with the river raise specifically, like your opponent can decide like just to fold missed draws there. You know, that's a pretty easy decision. It takes like, you know, it takes a lot of creativity to think like, oh, well, maybe I could bluff here.
Yeah, especially after like, the thing is, here's a way to think about it. It's a really big parlay to say that like this player is going to be very passive for, you know, like 4 decision points and then very aggressive with bluffs, the 5th decision point.
Yeah, yeah, they had to decide not to bluff flop or turn. Yeah,
they didn't raise on the flop or turn, and they also didn't raise you preflop, and they had 2 opportunities to do so. So your opponent had displayed a lot of passivity throughout other points in the hand. So I don't feel very comfortable saying that this is a particularly aggressive player. Not saying that it isn't, that he isn't, but I think the information you already had just in the hand is enough to sort of suggest that like you're probably not being overbluffed on the end there.
Yeah.
So Hero rebought and continued to play at the table. Later was able to get unstuck against the same villain. All right, well, that's definitely evidence that maybe he is a bit of a lag. Had ace 10 suited, the runout came down. 3, ace, 8, king, 3. Hero bet pot on the river, and he shoved, put me all in for my last $300. Snapped him off and showed 8-9 offsuit. Which is an interesting hand to bluff. It's the kind of behavior I expected from him. Makes me feel much better about my read from the hand above.
It makes me feel better,
but still, you should have played it different. You should have folded. Should have folded. Alrighty. Hero writes, in any case, thank you so much for the podcast. Hero's been learning a lot and listening through the whole back catalog. Know how much work and time these things take. So thanks again. It's our pleasure. Yeah. Thanks for writing in the show.
Yeah, it was a very interesting hand.
Yeah, appreciate you bearing with us in our, yeah. You know, we like to sort of razz our listeners a little bit, yeah. As you might say, but I think it's all in good fun.
We're critical, but we're, you know, it's good for you.
We love you anyway.
It's you know, if we didn't want you to get better at poker, we'd just say like, oh yeah, that all seems fine.
All right, I think we figured this one out, James. Well done, as always.
Yeah. Nice hand.
Patreon.
Yeah. Patreon. And I don't think we mentioned it earlier, so I'll just say, like, you can also send in your hands on Patreon, and, you know, Jack and I will be happy to provide feedback. So, yeah, that's another reason to join in addition to those bonus episodes.
Bonus episodes, instantaneous feedback. You'll get to talk with Guillermo Man. There's so much that we're offering you, and for so little. It's really unbelievable.
And a chance to make it to episode 300.
I personally guarantee you that if we do not get more patrons, we will not make it to episode 300. So don't come asking me what happened to the show. You know, when we peter out after 220 episodes, ask yourself, why wasn't I a Just Hands patron when it counted the most?
All right.
Bye-bye.